Vav Amud Aleph. We were holding in the middle of the sugya of a charit that had been planted in the Karen. And I think we just did the very opening of the Gemara, is that correct?
We just did the Mishnah.
Okay. Says the Gemara, when we say that the charit goes across, so it's talking about Akshay Mavrik today, who the Avodato? Does it need when it runs across, to run across the entire area of the Kerem, plus the four Amos on either side, and only then is it considered to be an independent area, and otherwise we would view it as a gat surrounded by the Kerem? Well, we can easily answer that one, because in Madatani we have a brisa that says, Modin Chachamim L'Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Becharit Mavrik Kidehu V'Avodato, that the Chachamim agreed to Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov, that if the charit runs not only across the Kerem, but also from the edge of the four Amos outside of the Kerem on one side all the way to the outer edge of the four Amos on the other side, long, not wide, then we agree that it looks like an independent area and it's not considered to be a god. If that's the case, then it's clear that Rebbe Eliezer and Yaakov held. So, how became Rebbe Eliezer and Yaakov Sofa Meimah, Afilo Eno Mavrik Kidei Hu V'Avodato. Obviously, that's good for the Machlokas about whether you need Hu V'Avodato or it's enough just to be Mavrik Hu. You don't require Avodato. Ma Pligin, Mavrik means to go to cut straight across, like a lightning bolt. It's cut straight through. Mat Pligin Bishayu Shtei Shirot Mikan Shtei Shirot Mikan. Aval Imai Ta Shura Achat Mikan Shura Achat Mikan Mikivan Shehu Magia Neged Shalosh Gefanim Batal Akeren. This whole question over here is only where you have, and we consider it to be part of the Kerem, a buckle to the Kerem as a dot, is only where you have two Shurot, which is the minimum of Shur of Kerem, on either side. So over there, we say that according to Chachomi, Morgan, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, this becomes now a God in a Kerem. But if you have only Shurah Chatmikan or Shurah Chatmikan, so once the Charit comes, cuts across three of the Gefanim, it's now Mevatel, the Kerem, because you no longer have a Kerem that is connected, Shmayim connected Shmayim. You have instead the Charit in the middle. And at that point, we're not mitzaret. There's no Kerem anymore. We're not mitzaret to Shulot on either side in the case of a charit, which is 4 tefachim wide, 10 tefachim deep, as we already said. That has the din of a gader be'emza. Now, it says in the Braita that tani pachot mikan asur, that it's less than this. So in other words, the chachomim who taina that a gat is asur. This is what the Bryce was referring to. And what we thought that it means is that pachot mikan, it's asur, that even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's also asur, according to the Chachamim, to plant inside such a gat, which of course is very confusing. What do you mean? It's also, obviously. I mean, the low king, ma'ananamim, I think he needs a change. Yeah. The Lord came, ma'ananamrin. So what are you saying? And if you hadn't made that brilliant observation, so what would we have said? That asaras, ishalo koshikain. If it's deep asaras, consider it to be also because it's bottled to the Kerem, although that's normally viewed as a rishus mitzvah small. So certainly, if it's only 9 tefachim deep, it's going to be bottled to the Kerem. No, you're right. It didn't mean pachot mikan in the depth. It meant if it's less than that in the width is what it was talking about. And so if it's less than 4 amas, it's still usher. Huh? I mean, why does that help anything? So again, if you hadn't made that brilliant observation, so the low came on and on me. What would I have said? I would have said the same thing, no? No. I would have said, yes, tickets are too. With a mutar. I would have said that if it's less now than the 4 tefachim, it's as if it's not there at all. And therefore, anything that's planted in it might as well be planted underground. And we had the halacha before that anything that's planted underground, remember we had the case where you brought the root system, you put it down underneath the ground, and it came out by the candle. That's not a problem, because it's underground. So then I would say to him, mutar, let it be mutar, kamashma, and it's us. Hey, wait a minute. Why, actually? Why isn't it mutar? But you have to take it to say mutar. Why not say that it's mutar? No. No, it's only three below, but it's not four wide to be considered exposed to the air. So it should be looked at as if it's sealed, because it's not a makom kosher at all. So then, yes, that's on the same mutar. Why not indeed view it that way? Lo king, Tony, we know the case. Shor shei peyan, if masim tov harba much of a term, lamata mishol shakraf, mareyem mutar. That if you have shorashim, peyan is a type of vegetable, if you have shorashim that go underground, deep three tvachim, and they hit the kerem, and they come within arba amot, it doesn't matter to us. Says the Gemara, no, you're right. What do you think we're talking about? Says the Gemara, if it would really be something, you're right. But Shanya here, it's different over here. Sha'avir ha-kerem makif. Since it's not really satum, and you have over here the airspace of the kerem, that lemaisa is around it, it's considered to be bottle to the kerem, and therefore it is, in fact, kerem. Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer pointed to the Chachamim, Einatem modim li. Are you not? Now, even though I argue, as I say, a God, you're allowed to plant it. Don't you admit that if you would have something, a mechitza, that Olmec is kigova? Always, I mean, we had many times before that the Olmec of ten tvachim, as long as it's 4 tvachim wide, you just walk over it, is the same thing as gova, the same thing as the height, right? So now, the Mishnah ends with a shomera. So shomera was a hill in which the shomer could stand and he could look over the kerem, and it says over there, mutar l'zroa. Why is it mutar l'zroa? Because it's 10 tvachim high. But what's the difference between 10 tvachim high and 10 tvachim deep? And why are you saying that all of a sudden, when up until now, when it comes to anything, we're ready to say that a charit is the equivalent of a bechit? And now, for some reason, in the same Mishnah, that's matir, even according to you, or shomera, you're going to say, but not if it's a charit. Why not? Isn't it the same thing? Says the Gemara. Amrulo should say over here, the rush changes the gears. Amrulo, yes, indeed, it would have been. Ela shavir hakerem makiv. The problem over here is that although, technically speaking, the Omek is kigova, since over here it's in the middle of a kerem, it's now considered to be chavush, the way a gat would be chavush by the kerem, and defined as being part of it, because the gat would be buckled to the kerem. Mistavra, that Rebbe Eliezer is moda le Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. It makes a lot of sense to say that according to Rebbe Eliezer, that he holds even a gat that is not, even if it's a real gat, it's not a charit that goes across the kerem from one end to the other. He holds you can plant in a gat in a kerem, and the kerem is not, it doesn't mavato the gat to the kerem. So Kol Shekein, he's going to be moda to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, that if you have a ditch that goes from one edge to the other, it doesn't look like a gat that's surrounded by a kerem. Obviously, he would hold, in that case, that it's for sure mutter to be Zoreya inside of that ditch. But as far as Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov being moda to Rebbe Eliezer, he would not be. That's why he specifies it has to be a ditch that goes straight across. And if not, he says, it would be like a gut, which means, and therefore, he would not be able to be Zoreya in it. So Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, lo yodi le Rebbe Eliezer, again, for the same reason. She'avir hakerem matif. Since over here, the avir hakerem runs all around it, it's mavato, the charit, and turns it into a gut and a kerem, which is, after all, normal for these things. Rabbi Shia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, by the way, as far as the Shomera is concerned, the Shomera has to have a place in it which is a halal arba, so that it's dug out and it's hollow, so that a Shomer can be able to actually sit in it. So it needs to have a halal of arba, otherwise it's not considered to be a makom kosher b'tnei atzmo. It would not be able to plant shalayim. Oh, Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, how did the Tamer Bar Gula? That's only if it's a hill. If it's a hill, yes, it's very, because a hill really looks like a good part of the field that's around it. But if it would be shaped like a Muruba, where it clearly it does not belong here, in other words, it's an artificial structure in which somebody can climb up, stand on top of it, and look around. It doesn't have to be hollowed out. So then it's a different area, then it's kosher. Ain't no association on Chalal Arba'ah. Over there, you do not require that there should be a Chalal Arba'ah at all. But the Chalata Ben Sha'ulom there, Tzarif Sheisham Shloshat Vachim Afar Milamal. You also need that there should be, at least there is something hollow underneath, it needs to be a 3 tvachim worth of offer on top that you're going to be able to plant something else into. And again, says Rabbi Yossi, but that's only if it's agulan, it looks like a hill that's brought to the area, would be merubah, and not to the Shem Shoshat Vachim Afar Milamal, you can put whatever you want on top. Now getting back to the house where it says that you can plant. I'm skipping there. Shlosha ad arba'ah matnitim. If the case would be that you want to plant now around the edges of this neka that you put something else into, in the case, you know, if you're talking about. If you're talking about a case where you can plant inside of it a geffen. So the question is the whole thing viewed as chavush, and you're not allowed to plant anything else with that geffen? Or do you only have to be marchik shisha tvachim, and you can plant now next to it as a geffen yechidit? Well, the case over here is mishlosha ad arba'ah imat niti. The case is from 3 tvachim up until 4 tvachim. There we have a machlokas whether you can be zoreya. So in other words, if the neka itself is between 3 tvachim wide and 4 tvachim, so it's not lova to be considered to be sealed completely, and it's not arba'ah to be mamish amakim b'fnei atzmo. So over there, fine. Over there, we hold. Rabbi Yossi says, if there's no arba amos, so then it's offered because it's considered to be chavush. But if it's mishlosha, the ad ar pachot mishlosha, rather it's kisatum. It would be completely, it's satum totally, according to everybody. Now mishlosha ad arba'a mashlim arba'a. Mizorea miyad. What this means is, if you want to plant now on the edges of this neka, and now you would want to be able to get all the way up to the edge, and not to be marchik shisha tvachim from the geffen that's inside of the neka, because you want to view the neka itself as a machitza, like we had by the case of the aruga, when you had the area built around the aruga, like the edge of the sandbox area, right? So if you want to now plant something right at the edge, you don't have to go ahead and be marked from it, shishat fachim. What all you have to do is to be mashlim the arba amot from that point on, and then you'd be able to be zoreya. So if you're talking about shishat fachim, so then just add the rest, and then mashlim arba the zoreya miyad. In the case of the bayit that we're talking about, if dafka, a case where the bayit itself, the truth is that the pirish, that this is going back on what we were talking about in the Mecca, is only according to the Rash. According to the Gro, we already switched to the next piece of the Mishnah. We were talking about bayit even here. So what the Gro understands it is that even though we said a bayit, you're allowed to plant in a bayit. Remember that a bayit has a shear usually, which has to be arba'ah, arba'ah. So that we said the difference between a bayit and a mechitza, when we had you could have sa'ar kotesh by a mechitza, so that if the various vines go over the mechitza, the mechitza becomes batal. By a house doesn't become batal. That's only where it has a shame of a bayit. The bayit now is completely covered on top and on the four sides. So the Gro understands this to mean that mishlosha v'ad arba'ah, if you don't have mamash or makom kosher of arba'ah, so then you can go ahead, if it's satum, it's not considered to be a bayit at all, less mishlosha. Mishlosha v'ad arba'ah, if you want to put now some plants of yifanim around the house, you'd have to be marking the additional amount that the house is missing. That's what it's saying. According to the grub, is all part of the next piece, which ties in to the mimer that follows where the oven, Mishem Shmuel, it says there's a remnant to this in the pasuk. Because what is Yishayahu referring to when he says, kilayim hu ba'u? What does that mean? And they hide in houses of kilayim? I don't know what it means. Houses made out of kilayim? What does that mean? To know. It means that things were so desperate that these little houses, meaning closed like a greenhouse in the middle of a caravan, in which you can be machbi'im bo et ha-kilayim, they hide kilayim in it, so to speak. Because this house allows you to, because it's hiding it, in other words, putting it in a different resource, it allows you to plant in the middle of the caravan kilayim. So they hid out, things were so desperate, they hid out in the, you know, in these huts in the middle of the field. But they're just saying, look how bad things got. So, but they kill him.
How the people hid out.
Not the clock. Somebody who either plants or allows to remain veggies in his karen. What exactly defines the pentu gdash amalei ha'atazer, right? So what is pentu gdash? That the, whatever the kelayim is planted in, the karen that the kelayim is planted in, becomes offered. But what defines the karen? I mean, what if it's 1,000 acres? Is it all one karen? Is there a definition of the karen? Right. Yeah, what would it be? One vegetable would destroy the entire karen? Comes along now the Gemara to say, in the same way that we have a shear in which a karen defines itself, and what is that distance? Karachat karen. So in other words, if you uproot the vines in the middle of the karam, our shir of karachat karam is 16 amas by 16 amas, that's considered to still be inside the karam. What does that tell you? It tells you that an area like that of 16 is considered to be the karam. And once you go beyond that, you're in a different karam, so to speak. Which means that what we need to do is we say in a radius of 16, it will answer. And if you work out a radius of 16, you turn out to have, if you could pretend that this was a square, and your gefunim are planted 4x4, right? So that would mean that you would include from the middle, and we're going to see in the Gemara it's talking about that the middle is completely surrounded, right? So then you would have actually included, actually the best thing is to look in your picture kuf yud aleph. So you would then have, in a radius of 16, you would have had, if it were a square, in each direction, 3 besides the one in the radius itself, right? So it's no matter how you go, there would be 3 on each side, because you have 4 tefachim between each of your vines. Now, since this is a circle and not a square, you would have to exclude the 4 on the edges. Okay, so normal. Let's say, assuming, as the Gemara is going to explain, assuming you would have rows 7x7 vines. You've got 49 vines, and you have over here your spaces of arba ames between each vine. So now, if you're going to draw a square around this thing, you have 49 vines. But since you're drawing a circle, the circle is going to end up leaving out, and you have a picture, the circle is going to end up leaving out the corners. Right? And in leaving out the corners, you lose 4 vines, which means that in this circle, you would have 45 vines. So a circle with a radius of 16 includes 45 vines.
Which is
kilayim
and which is not?
The middle vine was kilayim, because you planted veggies around it. So that means that 45 vines will end up getting messed up in a circle of 16 amas, with a radius of 16 amas.
So we go in all directions from
there? Yes, in all directions. That's why we draw it as a circle. So if a circle with a circumference, I mean, with a diameter of 32. Right. Pretty much, I know. So that's Arvein Vachamesh Gifanim. So therefore, he was Makadesh 45 lines, Ein Matai. But when is this true? This man chain is called Al-Harba Harba. Obviously, this only works out if the vines are planted 4 amas away from each other. And the truth is, even if they're planted Al-Khamesh Khamesh, why? Even though you only get 37 vines if you plant Khamesh Khamesh. However, it's very strange. Nobody explains this other than the Rambam. And the Rambam, nobody understands what he's talking about, which I'll tell you in a moment. But the explanation that's accepted is the Tosfos Yontov's explanation. And that is, the Gra also agrees with the Tosfos Yontov's explanation, which is that being it is difficult to ascertain the Bachud, the difference between a Kerem that's planted 4 amas apart and 5 amas apart. So therefore, since in a standard configuration of the Kerem, you would ask for 45 vines, so they made this the standard assessment. And they increased the level of the circle to include in a case where they were 5 amas apart, because it looks the same, and we have to make a gezeirah. Remember, all of Karayim anyway is defined by graphics. So this graphic is too close for people. So the resolution is not that different.
We'll
extend it to 45.
Right? By 6, that's already a difference.
By 6, it's already a difference, and then we'll look at the actual number of vines. The problem is that the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam gives this strange explanation that when it comes to the 5, we will look at the 4 amas around the vine as if invading that space makes the vine adjacent to those 4 amas also considered to be, because he says as long as the circumference will touch of the circle will touch that area, even though it doesn't include the base of the vine, we include that vine. And then he works it out to include 45, in which case everybody asks on it, so why was it when we were talking about 4x4, when we touched the base, why couldn't we include the next vine out? And we didn't. According to him, we should have extended it to the next vines out. Right? And why is it when it comes to 6x6 that we don't want to be willing to include it? And so on. Nobody understands the Rambam.
So the
Kesef Mishnah says, well, I can't tell you what the shot is, but I can tell you that we asked the great Chacham Rabbi Yisrael, who was a Chacham, the Chacham, apparently was a big mathematician, and we asked him, and he said, there's no other way to understand this Mishnah except the way the Rambam looks at it, and anybody who is sufficiently subtle in his intelligence will immediately see that this might as well have been an Allah on the Moshe Mishnah, because it's so brilliant. The Rambam's mathematical analysis of this. And nobody's, and this is our Kermit last year, and nobody's been able to figure out what the Rambam is talking about. It tells us Yonker finally gets it to say the heck with this Rebbe's role character. We do not accept it. We do not listen to him. And the Rambam is impossible. And that's all there is to it. So he came up with his prophet at the Gezeira and so on. But something funny is going on. We don't really understand what the whole logic is over here. And my suspicion is that the Rambam is based on the last words of the Mishnah, which say as follows. Then it would be Makadesh, whatever 16 takes in, Agulot lo merubot, and I think this is the secret in the Rambam. Agulot lo merubot clearly does not mean, don't draw it as a square, draw it as a circle. That's nonsense. How can you draw it as a square? Starting from where? It means whatever this word lo merubot always means in Shas, which is that whenever we deal with something that is also in a circle, for instance, the tchum around the city, right? What we do, or the distance of Arba Amos and Shabbos, or Zagabi Rishis Harab, and Rishis Shalom, we create a circle that is based on the diagonal of an equivalent square, so that we increase the size of the circle by the diagonal if it had been a square, and then you get that diagonal all around. Right? You use the hypotenuse. Exactly. And then, so clearly what the Rambam was saying is that this din of Agulot v'lo merubaot is only being said on the last part of the Mishnah. But when it comes to the Chomesh al-Chomesh, the Mishnah was telling you can use the diagonal if that will enable you to include the Arba, to be the equivalent of Arba. So the difference between Arba and Chomesh is included because of the diagonal. maybe because of the gezeira of the Tosfos Yontif, but what's the mechanism for it? You see, that would be the mechanism. Once you go to the second case, then we say it's agrolot v'lom merubah. So that the Mishnah's goof are coming to exclude the kasha that they're asking on the Rambam, so why not say the same thing about all the cases? You know, we don't say once it's already that large, we don't see the distinction between the additional value of the merubah. Says the Gemara, if Yossi bar Hanina Omer, Bogush is a rak in negara and sa'it. Says Rabbi B'Shem Shmuel, Bogush say, and then you have Luai, Eric. Wait, while I'm second over here. This din is where you're right at the center of the circle, so that the center of the circle became Kelayim, which Rabbi B'Shem Shmuel explains by the B'Shem Shmuel, that obviously it means that the Yerek itself extends around the base of the middle one, so that it's 16 in each direction is from the Yerek, not from a Geffen that was altered because of the Yerek. Why would we draw 16 from there? We have to draw 16 from the actual Yerek. Right. Hey, Chavida, so what's the case exactly? Okay, imagine for yourself, Shuvashurim and Shuvashurim. Seven rows, a matrix of seven rows of seven columns that are planted at four amas apart from each other, okay? So now you would have 49. But since you're drawing a circle and not a square, same EMR by Gifanim, you have to leave out the four vines on the four corners that you put the circle in. So leave those four corners out because they don't fit into the circle. You're left with 45. How do the Taninim? And that's why our Mishnah says, Hareu Mikadesh Arba'im V'Chamesh Gifanim. But obviously, Eimatai V'Zman She'en Etu'ot Arba Al Arba. Oh, Chamesh Al Chamesh. Now, you'll notice that Adam Isayel or Rebbe Zeira. This is a riot to what Rebbe Zeira said earlier. Rebbe Zeira, we have that machlokas. And Rebbe Zeira said, when you measure Shemona, you're measuring it chutz mimakom akratim. You have to exclude, we said this in the previous parak, you have to exclude the distance of the actual vine, so that if you had left 8 amos up till the bottom of the vine, that is acceptable. So there, from here we see a raya to him. So in other words, you have 8 amos beside the koratin. The koratin is what he calls the trunks of the vine themselves. So then the din of Har Karka of Arba Amot is also talking about to require the Arba Amot, meaning between the Gefanim and not including the Gefanim. That's why the Mishnah has only 45 Gefanim. But if we would move everything up, those last Gefanim that were on right on the edge of the circumference, they would have been included also, and they're not included. So this is a raya that Rabbi Zeira is right. Now, by the way, what does that imply? That if it was more than that, that's the maximum. You think if it was more than that, then it wouldn't answer. Why wouldn't it answer? I thought up till 16 can answer. It's a riot to what Rebbe Elazar said. Rebbe Elazar says that even in a Kerem Gadol, there's a difference between 8 and 16. That Mi'arba'am is not Shemona, it's also in its ultimate Kaddish. But Mi'shemona Sheshesre in a Kerem Gadol, even though sheet is old, then you can be marked up the Sheshesre between each vine. They're moda that it's only Osir, but it's not going to be Makadesh, but Yevet if you stuck something in there. So in other words, it's considered to be a Kerem Lagabi Lechatzila Osir to plant a Yerek in it. But if your Kerem was planted wider than 8, even though it's got 9 vines and it's a Kerem Gadol, 333, it's still, although it's prohibited to plant, if you planted it, wouldn't have been Makadish, which is why our Mishnah never discusses a case in which you have more than 8, or even 8, beyond the various vines. So that proves his point. Usher to do, but no penalty. No penalty if you do. No penalty. So it would not be Makadish. The plants themselves would be Mutter, which is why the Mishnah doesn't discuss being Makadish 45 vines, or the number of vines it would be in a case for 6.
They would be Mutter. It would be coming for heaven.
Oh, you mean we would give him Petch? Exactly. Yeah, Petch.
How about the last?